Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God that He gave us another day of life, because He didn't have to do it, but He did. Grateful, thankful, and blessed, I say again. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning with a humble heart, asking you to watch over the people in Turkey and Syria who are suffering loss, God, who have lost family members, who have lost homes, who have lost business, lost their life. Lord God, everything is for a purpose and a reason. But we lift up the souls of the dead, and we ask you, Lord God, for those that are living, that each be found and made whole, God. And Father God, we are asking your blood to cover the sick and the shut in. We're asking you, Lord God, to watch over our seniors and our children. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger, God. And Father God, we ask you to let all things done darkness come into light, God. But you know the hearts of many. You know the hearts of the wicked. You know the hearts of those that come in and scream, Lord, Lord, but have hearts that are hardened. Father God, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us all of our sins, oh God, that we have committed in thought and word and deed, God, against your divine majesty. Lord God, I give myself away this morning for you to use me for your glory. Lord God, reduce me and increase you. Father God, as I go through your word today, this Psalm 109. I'm sorry, Lord God. I got all filled up because I see such hatred going on in this world. And I'm asking you, Lord God, to let those that speak your word speak it with love and not with hateful, vengeful hearts, God. And Lord God, I ask you to remove me from this word today. Lord God, as Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, you, O Lord, are my strength. You, O Lord, are my redeemer. Lord God, I cannot do this without you. And so I ask you, Father, again, please increase as I decrease. Remove all flesh, God, and replace it with your Holy Spirit. Let nothing come from my mouth that is not meant to be spoken. Lord God, keep my tongue behind my teeth and let all flesh be removed. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift up this holy word and ask you to give us clarity and understanding that it may touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. In the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Good morning, family. I got all thrown off this morning, you know, as I was reading an article of a young man who had a debilitating illness and how insurance companies didn't want to pay for his life-saving treatment because a particular nurse decided it upon herself to deny his treatment plan and then hide anything that was against her recommendation. Because in her mind, she felt it caused too much money. And we all know that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, including in people who are told to do no harm. Pledge to do no harm. You know, we have politicians preaching in churches, taking scriptures to curse and not to lift up other politicians. You know, and all these things were hitting me this morning. And so I got a little off track, but I ask forgiveness because I don't take this job that the Lord has assigned me lightly. And I pray for our nation. The hatred is not of God. Hating your neighbor is not what the word of God says. God tells us to love. You can't love God who you've never seen, but hate your brother who you have seen. Because if you do, you're a hypocrite. We got to quit the hate train and get on, as they used to say, what is it? Get on the love train. We need to get on that love train and get off the hate train. Because hate will destroy a nation. Instead of talking about how much we dislike this person who may be in whatever political party they choose, we need to start talking about how much we love each other. Find the good and not always the bad. As a countries, plural, are dealing with life and death, we're talking on foolishness. As are being dug from rubble, we're trying to curse this politician or that politician through the word of God, no less. Because understand, what you do to others, God will do to you. We got to quit speaking negative and start speaking positive. We may have a lot of issues in America. We have a whole lot of things that we need to repent from. But we are still one of the greatest nations in the world. And we need to bring the Lord back in it. People of God, we need to pray to be a loving country. Pray for our country to quit looking at the outside and start looking at the inside. Pray for our country leaders to mind their own business. So many things we talk about, big government, but when government starts going into people's bedrooms, starts going into people's doctor's office, starts going into people's personal lives that only them and God should know about, that's a problem. Because you have no hell or heaven to send anybody to. You can pray for them if they're sinning and going down the wrong path. You can lift them up. You can help the homeless. You can help the unclothed. You can help the hungry. But we got to quit vilifying each other. We got to start lifting up, looking up, and giving it all to God. Because we have our own messes to deal with before we start trying to tell other people how to live. Let us look at ourselves. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God is our strength, and God is our redeemer. And that's what we call on the name of Jesus. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of my mouth, you, the words of your mouth, your meditation, my meditation, we each have to be acceptable in the sight of God. Go to hell for you, and I can't go to heaven for you. All I can do is give you the word of God, and the choice is yours. Whether you accept it, whether you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I have accepted him as mine, but the choice is an individual thing. And we can't be judging. I know I used to be a little misjudging spirit. And God had to show me some things about myself. And I had to repent. and I continually repent. Lord, forgive me from my mouth. Heal me from my afflictions. We got to go to God. So pray for our nation. Pray for those that are in leadership. Pray that they have a heart of God and a heart of love for the less fortunate. Pray that they get out of self and get into the Lord. And let's get into our word this morning. And this morning we are coming out of Exodus chapter 25 and 26. We are coming out of the 19th Psalm, verses 7 through 14. And the scripture I pray every morning is our title, O Lord, My Strength and My Redeemer, this morning, which is the 19th Psalm, verse 14. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 through 35, and Matthew chapter 24. So let's get into our word, because it is a lot of word this morning, and we want to make sure we get through it all. Again, thanking God for all of you, thanking God for his mighty word, and just asking you to continue praying for the people of Turkey and Syria who are suffering from this massive earthquake. I don't know how many they have found dead. I know as of when I went to bed last night, it was about 2,500 people. And so we have to pray for God to take care of his children. Pray for God to watch over those that are going through, because we know that this is going to happen. Nothing happens without the Lord allowing it. And we know his word tells us that in the end times there will be earthquakes. There will be all kinds of things going on. And it's going on. Wars, rumors of wars, conflicts. We are seeing it every day. And we need to pray that more people will be saved, that many will know the Lord God as their Savior and their Lord. We must pray. And as we go into chapter 25 of Exodus, as many know, this is a year-long Bible study. We started on January 1st, and we will end, God willing, on December 31st. We are coming again this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. It is a Bible that will help you get through the entire Word of God in 1 year. So please join me. Tell friends that want to hear the Word of God, especially those that are shut in, your seniors in your families, you know, those that just like to listen to the Bible, you know, give them 213-943-3597 to call in. We start every morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are on Sunday through Friday. We rest on Saturday, the Sabbath. And my supposed sleep-in day, which never seems to be, but at least I try. But I still spend time with God on that day. So definitely join us for Bible study. And let's get into it. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. That's that underlying word, willingly. Don't pay your tithes with an unwilling heart. Pay your tithes with a willing heart. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And it says it's from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, all for the lights and spices for the anointing oil, for the sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, and the ark may be carried by them. Then the poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it, and you shall put into the ark the testimony, which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat, and the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, above everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. You shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of hand's breadth all around. And you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold and put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be of 1 piece. And 6 branches shall come out of its side. 3 branches of the lampstand out of the one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. 3 bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the 6 branches that come out of the lampstand, on the lampstand itself, 4 bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. And there shall be a knob under the first 2 branches of the same, a knob under the second 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the third 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of 1 piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make 6 lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they shall give light in front of it, and its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. God gave Moses everything he needed to do the job he was assigned to do. God gives us everything we need to do the assignment that we are assigned to do. In my case, he gave me the Bible he wanted me to use because I had ordered another one. And God said, nope, this is the one I want you to use. And so I had to be obedient. And I went back to Dr. Stanley's Bible because this is the one that God chose for me to use. So I tell everybody, this Bible, I'm not paid by this ministry to hawk this Bible, but I tell you, it is a great Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. Even if you're not listening to this show, it is a good Bible to read every day, to read the Word of God in 1 year. It has done so much for my heart, and I tell you, it has changed my life because I have read things that I don't remember, you know, things that I didn't learn in Sunday school that I'm learning from reading the Word of God. So I tell you, get your Bible. Read your Bible. It will save your life. And as I go back to chapter 25, you know, Dr. Stanley gives us life lessons. And he gives us answers to life's questions, too. And from chapter 25, verse 2, from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. The kind of offering God most desires from us is a willing one given out of a grateful heart. But even when we give in this joyful way, we can never outgive God. And we can take that to the bank. We can never outgive God. Thank God. And always do what you do for God with a willing heart, not because you got to, but because you want to. In the mercy seat in Exodus 25 and 22, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter in behind the veil of the Holy of Holies and stand before God. On that day, he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat in order to receive forgiveness for the sins of the community. It was there that the Shekinah glory or presence of God would rest between the golden figures of 2 cherubims, which were a kind of angel. Only one man could be in the presence of God and on only one day a year. One man once a year, and by the time Jesus walked on the earth, it had been hundreds of years since the Shekinah glory of God had been seen in the temple. The average Israelite was not accustomed to being in the presence of God. Yet imagine the excitement and glory on the Day of Atonement when God's presence would dwell between the two angels. In Exodus 25 and 22, God says, there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. It was there on the mercy seat between the two angels above the Ark of the Covenant that God showed himself merciful in forgiving sin. God met with the high priest and spoke with him, and the high priest had the privilege of worshiping God and finding guidance. Now fast forward to 3 days after the crucifixion. It was very early in the morning, and Mary Magdalene some other women traveled to Jesus' tomb out of love and devotion. John 20:11-12 tells us, Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Woo, that's powerful. Though Mary did not realize it at the time, what she was seeing was the wondrous fulfillment of the Old Testament mercy seat. The glory of God shone between those two angels. Only God's Shekinah glory was not being revealed to a priest with an offering. Rather, it was being shown to a woman with a broken heart. Yet why would God put the mercy seat in the tomb? The interesting thing is that the mercy seat was the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. The word for Ark in the Hebrew, Aron, which means coffin. God's glory appeared in the Old Testament above a coffin. And now, through Christ, God's great victory likewise appeared over the tomb to signify his victory over death. You see, Jesus had already become our high priest, and he had already made our atonement offering. Hebrews 9:23-28, the veil of the Holy of Holies had been torn in two, and we were no longer separated from the presence of God. Hebrews 10:19-23, the forgiveness, the guidance, and the very presence of God that had previously been accessible only one man on one day a year, only to one man, one day a year, who went behind the holiest of holies, who was able to go behind the veil, but now we can. I'm getting filled up. And it says, no matter what counsel you need, no matter why you need direction, the mercy seat is available to give you guidance. No matter what the tomb, no matter what hope or promise has died to you, the mercy seat is available to you, and the glory of God will shine on your situation. You may not see it yet, but the victory is yours. Jesus Christ has become your mercy. Open the way so that the Shekinah glory of God can illuminate your life in every circumstance. So what do you do with this great access to the mercy seat? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Therefore, enter in, friend, and rejoice in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Are you rejoicing with me today? Are you rejoicing with me today? God's glory, let it shine upon us all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have gotten filled up when I think about the goodness of God. Chapter 26 of Exodus. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain, on the salvaged of one seat, and likewise you shall do to the outer edge of the other curtain of the second seat. 50 loops you shall make in this one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second seat, that the loop may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps. Clap so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all have the same measurements. and you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6 curtains at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps, but the clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together, that it may be one. The remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, and on one side, and the cubic on the other side, of what remains of the length of the curtain of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on the side to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ram skin dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skin above that. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of the board, and a cubic and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for the binding on one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle, and you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for the 2 lintens, and for the second side of the tabernacle, north side, there shall be 20 boards, and on their 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards for the far side of the tabernacle. Westward shall you shall make 6 boards, and you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by one ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And the bottom line is, this is instruction given by God. Carpenters are assigned by God. Everything is absolute. God has given a blueprint for his tabernacle, given a blueprint for everything to be done decent and in order. And it says, and you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle. For the far side west, where the middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end, you shall overlay the boards with gold. Make the rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall rise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasp. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil, and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast 5 sockets of bronze for them. Can you imagine if someone were to find this tabernacle? You know, because of course everything was put away and lost, many things lost. They wouldn't be looking at it for the purpose of the holiness of it, but for the gold and the silver and how much it would bring them. And it just breaks your heart when you think of all so many antiquities that were stolen and are hidden some in houses of very wealthy people who have no understanding of the significance of these holy objects from the house of God, from the temple of God. Because you got to remember, so many things were stolen at the destruction of Jerusalem. And many were taken to Babylon, which is today Iraq. And when Iraq was attacked and we had our war, the Iraqi war in Afghanistan, so many things in iniquity, so many religious things were stolen. Are all over the world. People have no idea what they have access and what they have in their homes. Soldiers don't know what kind of things they have unearthed that nobody will ever know or see again. It's amazing. You know, when God gives us instructions and shows us what to do and how to build, everything done in the tabernacle was done with instruction. And as we get into our 19th Psalm, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Come on now. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is weaned. And in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from scarlet, from secret faults, excuse me. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Ooh, things that only God knows about you. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The God who made the universe by his almighty power offers to exercise the same power on our behalf to help us speak and think in a way that honors him. He wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. Give honor to God today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Should be our daily lament. We should say that every day. We should speak it through the day. Before you open your mouth, ask God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight. Because if it's acceptable in his sight, you know you're not being offensive. And you're not being an offense to anyone. You're speaking what God tells you to speak. Oof, this is a fill-up word today. Proverbs 6, verses 32 to 35. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. I'm going to read that again. Whoever commits adultery with a woman, and we can say with a man, because adultery is not just a woman. It's two people doing the wrong thing. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his soul. Wounds and dishonor, he will get his reproach and will not be wiped away. And his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased through you, though you give many gifts. Adultery is in the Word of God numerous times. It's not something the Lord takes lightly. And I say this to anyone, when you decide to marry, marry with the right heart. Don't marry because of sex. There's too many young people divorcing even today because they married for lust. They didn't marry for love. They married for lust. And when the lust is appeased, then they don't like each other. And they want to get divorced. Love, there's nothing like a love relationship. Until death do you part, love. And that's what God wants for us. So just keep that in your mind. You know, for all of those that are unmarried, wait on the Lord. If you are a woman, the Lord's going to send the one for you. If you are a man, the Lord will send you to your good thing. So you will find favor with the Lord. We got to trust God that the one for us is out there. If there isn't, then be happy. Because then that means you are a bride of Christ and that you don't have to worry about a husband because your husband is the Lord and he's got you covered. And even when you have a husband, the Lord's got you both covered then. You're both covered. For there is God, your husband, and then you, and then your children. Hallelujah. Trust God. Matthew 24. And it says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Listen to this word, family. This is one of the most important words that we could ever have. Because there are so many that will come that will be false teachers, false prophets. And there will be those that will come and say, I'm Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to tell you, don't be deceived. And as we go back into the word, it says, and Jesus, not Pastor Bridget, not Minister Bridget, not any of our ministers and pastors are speaking this. This is what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed. This is a highlightable. Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Highlight this. This is a highlightable. This is a take heed word. Jesus spoke it to us so that we will know this is, and we may be in the beginning of sorrows. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another. Come on now, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Come on now. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Highlightable. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Whew, Jesus. This is a word that we must know, because this is what is coming. And Christians, we got to know the word of God. It is so important that we study to show ourselves approved. It is so important that we get this word in our spirit, in our hearts, in our minds. Jesus said, and it says, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be coming the Son of Man. See, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Whew, hallelujah. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Look up. Look up. He's not come to the east. He's not to the west. He's not in the desert. He's not in the room. He just told us, highlight in your word. This is Old Testament, New Testament. The word of God is true, and we got to stand on it. Don't be deceived. Many will come in my name, Matthew 24:5, as the Christ, as our Savior spoke, as Jesus, Yeshua, for those that want that Hebrew word and Hebrew name, Yahshua, Jesus, will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. There have always been deceivers in the church, leading people away from a relationship with Christ and into religious bondage. But Jesus says, as the time nears for his return, such deception will markedly increase. We got to be careful. We've got to be prayed up. We've got to know the word of God. If you have never read your Bible before, read it now. Because it is everything you need to survive the coming. What we just read today, Jesus gave us. What did he tell us? I am the Christ and will deceive many. There's going to be something coming. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. You see that already. Russia and Ukraine. And kingdoms against kingdoms. And there will be famine, pestilence, earthquakes. Syria, Turkey right now. In various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Read this word. Then if anyone says to you, look here, is a Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. God will not wind down human history until the whole world has had the opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. His amazing patience leads to our rich salvation. And that is the word I have for today. If there's anyone that would like to speak, if God has given someone a word, now is the time to push that one on your phone or to call 213-943-3597. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Good morning. Always remember that your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday. And that is, again, right on point with our word for this morning. The best is yet to come. Our Savior is coming. We just have to be patient and wait. And our prayer for this morning from our 365 Days of Prayer for Life, confidence. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Hebrews 10:35, NCV. Holy One, you are my confidence. I don't trust in the strength of my own abilities or in the faithfulness of even my closest friends. There is not much in life that I am truly certain of, but may I never doubt that you are my great reward. Whatever happens in life, would you keep me tucked into your side, covered in your loyal love, grace. Even when my confidence wavers in religious systems and what I thought were non-negotiable beliefs are shown to simply be tradition painted as piety, may my heart stay tethered to yours. You don't deal in manipulation or fear. It's not how you operate. When I question perhaps everything else, may your love be the staying focus and staying force in my life. I cannot despise a life lived out of true affection. Your ways, Jesus, are beautiful, and I want to follow you. The cost may be great, but the reward will be worth it far beyond anything I can imagine with my limited creativity. And the question today is this: what are you most confident about? And all I can say is, Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Trust in the Lord today, family, and know that the Lord is your strength and the Lord is your redeemer. We got to give everything over to God and watch him work in your life. If you don't know Jesus, today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to accept him into your life as your Lord and Savior. But there is none like him. Don't look to the east. Don't look to the west. Don't go, because you just look up. And one day he's coming back. The Redeemer takes you before the tribulation, because you don't want to be here when it comes. Keep trusting God. Stay in his word and know that he loves you more than you could ever imagine. He loves me more than I could ever imagine. So stay filled with that Holy Spirit that comes upon us. Because God loves you so much. And as I fill up this morning, I can only say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done in my life. And I will serve you with my whole heart. So that's it. This morning, as your host gets all filled up with the Holy Spirit, thanking God for another day. Thanking God for his grace and for his mercy. Let it abide in you, abound in you, and let his words touch your heart. Study, study, study some more, because the word of God is what's going to sustain us and keep us in the days to come. Have a blessed day, family. Whew, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, that God will watch over you and your children and your children's children for generations to come. And I pray his grace and his blessings. I pray the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you, that you are covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet, that your protection is over you, that the Lord God is covering you, and that you will know that you are anointed and saved by his grace. Let his warmth cover you today. And may the hope in a future of love and kindness, that we will remember that God is love. In this month of love, just call your mother, call your father, call your brothers and sisters, call your pastors, call the people in your life, and just let them know that you love them. Because love is an action word. Go visit the sick and the shut-in. Just pray up those that are in your family that you don't speak to anymore. Pray for them. And let God's love abide and abound in you. That they will see him in you. Because as many say, the only Jesus some people may see is you. Have a blessed day, family. What do we say? It is a wrap, because we are always willing, ready, available. Presently praying for each and every one of you. Have a blessed day.